Hi everyone, welcome back to All Things Agriculture Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm pleased to have Mr. Brian Cornell with me today. Brian, how you doing?
Great, and yourself?
Good, good. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, no problem. Glad I could finally get down here and get on this. It's been something I've been wanting to do. Been watching them. It's quite an interesting thing. And learning a lot. Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah.
I try to get a diverse audience of different types of people. You know, agriculture, but at the same time, going into your type of field, I find blue collar type of really cool stuff that people don't really know much about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There is definitely a miss on all that stuff, and it needs to be promoted more for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this is your time to do that.
Yeah, we will do what I can, absolutely.
Yeah, so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of let people know who you are and what you do.
Yep. So I'm Brian Cornell. Not many people know me. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm one of Eric's cousins first. My mom and Eric's dad are brother and sister. So we've been in this house a lot too.
Yeah, a lot of fun times in this house growing up.
Yep, we've had my younger brother Martin on the show once already. We got two sisters too. I have two boys and a baby girl expecting soon, or not soon, in September. So we're excited for that. We grew up on a small dairy farm in Union Springs, milked 50 cows and had 50 cow replacement calves, heifers growing up. We did a lot in the fields, milked. We grew up on the farm. It was a fantastic experience. My dad is a very great mechanic, and we learned a lot from him. Patience was one of his virtues that we definitely learned. He didn't get stressed about a lot, and it has passed on through the rest of us, I think. So that is just a great quality.
Something you need in the field, you do, isn't it?
Yes. Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. When you have a problem and it's it can be overwhelming, and you just gotta take a breath and just go. So tossed a weld, taught us to. We did a lot. He did a lot on his own. Didn't call a lot of people to come fix things. So we just figured it out. That's a slogan that I've apparently come to people know me as is, we'll figure it out, no big deal. So
that's a good one. Yeah you got it.
So and we just moved on from there. So growing up, dairy farm, did mowed hay, baled hay, milked cows. We had dumping station, so we didn't milk the cows until we got a little older because we couldn't lift the pails into the actual center dumping station. So, dad did that, but we did a lot of the feeding cows when we were growing up and baling. I did a lot of baling hay and chopping hay. So, and then, we did a lot of that. And then, coming up through school about 10th grade, dad goes, you know, I don't know if, I think you should go look for something else because farming's 365, 7 days a week, no breaks. It's hard.
Did you think you wanted to run the farm?
I really guess I didn't. I probably did at that point. I really didn't know. I mean, 10th grade, you don't know what, you just enjoyed being there. I mean, we look at home videos and like all my buddies are over there always hanging out. We're doing whatever, running around four wheelers, driving tractors, digging holes, whatever stuff. So we were clearing a set of woods and I had friends come over and we would run excavator and dig holes and stuff. So and dig stumps out and that kind of thing. So it was always fun. There was always something to do. But so he's like, I think you should go take the electrical class at BOCES. So so I said, yeah, sure, I can go.
Did you have interest in electrical stuff or?
I think I did a little bit because I'd get like little toys and I'd tear apart the electronics and just sit there and look at them and then put them back together and say, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. And put the batteries back in the things and let them do what they need to do. So there was probably a little interest there. So, and he may have seen that. So, yeah, I went and took the BOCES class. We had a great teacher. His name is Mark Caruana. I got to know him really well because he actually knows our Aunt Marg because he taught at the Mexico BOCES with her.
Oh, okay.
So, we got to go really good. And he was a great teacher for inspiration. Really, really did a mark, I think, on a number of us kids in his class, I believe. Just really helped us in that. And I think that is a very key to have, is mm-hmm. just to try to inspire people. So so I did that. Went junior and senior in high school. Senior year in high school, due to the BOCES, I was actually able to go into National Honor Society. So
okay.
At our school. So I thought that was kind of cool. Just because it was something I actually became really, really liked. So we just, yeah, I did that and was good. So you
did that throughout high school, really got a knack or became really good and really enjoyed doing it.
Yep. So I found this niche and just liked this, kind of liked it. And the teacher set a couple of us aside and was like, oh, let's focus on this kind of thing while other kids focused on a different thing. He could see where kids' minds were at.
Okay.
At that point. So I think that helped a lot. Just to try to, you know, again, inspire and try to make you learn and try to think about things. So,
yeah. So he was kind of seeing you're really, really good at this. Why don't we kind of push you in a certain direction?
Yeah.
And yeah, he was kind of catering to each individual student instead of just saying, you all do this.
Yeah.
And whether you sink or swim, it's.
Right. I mean, okay. Yeah. And everyone was there to help each other. It just was, different avenues.
Yeah.
This field, if you haven't figured out yet, I'm a master electrician. I actually started my own business back in October 2020 and have been on my own since May 2021.
What's the name of it? Cornell
Electrical Solutions. Right. So I just been wanting to do something like this, so that's what we went. So, but anyways... So I graduated high school and got a job with a local electrical contractor. We did a lot in the ag sector, did a lot of wiring for fans and barns and pulling power to barns and stuff like that. So learned a lot, just did a lot, separators and manure separation and a lot of fans. we wired a lot of fans. I think one year I wired 360 fans.
Oh my lord.
Yeah.
Well, kind of when, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, when you graduated from high school back, it would have been what, 2000?
2001.
Young. Probably a lot of the electronical, these newer fans, a lot of this stuff was just starting to kind of hit.
So yeah, we did
pavement.
Yeah, we did a lot in just temperature based. So if it reached you had a thermostat and it reached temperature, kicked fans on, and we'd do two thermostats essentially. So you'd have one thermostat set a little lower, and then another thermostat set a little higher. So you'd have one group of fans come on for a while, and once the temperature got up in the barn, it'd kick the other group of fans on and help keep the cows cool, because cow comfort is everything on mm-hmm. the dairy farms. So
a lot of money spent in it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, I mean, yeah, you gotta have it for make milk. Cows, comfy cow is a happy cow. So
absolutely.
So growing up on the farm, that helped with what I was doing as well, just trying to learn and try to see what we needed to do, I feel like, on that kind of stuff. But yeah, nowadays they put variable frequency drives on the fan, so, and they put a little temperature sensor right at the fan, so it just watches the temperature right at that fan, and it just modulates the speed of that fan off the temperature in that spot. So like if you're on the south side of the barn, the south side could be way hotter than the north side because of the way the sun is, or even on the west side, west end of the barn during August. I mean, that sun can just get roasting in there, and those fans could be spinning way faster than the ones on the east end because it's going to be hotter on that end. So it's a very interesting concept.
I've seen in one of our barns has a dry cow barn has a single fan on the bunk. And in the wintertime, if it's like a 30-degree day, we'll open the door. And if the sun is out and it shines directly on that box, it warms up enough where that fan, it's like 30 degrees out and she's just spinning. Yeah. Just not much, just a little bit.
Just getting a little breeze.
That's where, nothing else is running except that one fan is just.
But that's what you want because you want to get that hot, moist air out of the barn. So that's, and the, technology has come a long ways on that kind of stuff. It's very, very interesting and very cool how things have come. So back in 2007, we started wearing a freestyle. It was a big, big freestyle, largest one we've ever done. 480 lights in it. It was big.
Four lights.
Yeah. Just the lights. Cross ventilation. So at that time, I really didn't know. We were running power for lights, sizing light wires. Didn't really know much about automation at that point. So we wired the lights, pulled the wires for them, and started with the fans. The fans were going to be on variable frequency drives, and never really, I've probably wired a couple of them, but didn't really know what they were. So I was like, all right, cool. Apply those wiring methods to these fans. So we did that. Then at that time, I'm not sure what happened, but there was supposed to be an electrical guy that did automation, and I think he passed away and sometime during then. So they were looking for kind of someone to take over, I think, and that guy, I guess, got passed on to me, a young little kid that was 20 something years old. And when I saw that just really opened my eyes. I never really dawned on me to think of things like this before. All computer controlled, modulating fan speed off of temperature, turning lights on and off for 16 hour light, 8 hours complete darkness to try to get that little bit more milk production out of the cows. And it's all just done automatically. Through this little computer, you can program whatever your heart's desire out of it and just set it up and go. It's just crazy what you can do with this stuff nowadays. So anyway, start wiring that. And I was actually going, it was kind of during the winter, so I was still living at home, so we weren't doing any field work and just essentially milking cows and feeding them at that point. So I would, and internet was actually getting, this shows my age, internet was actually, we're getting off dial-up and getting getting to more of a faster.
Yeah, we had a dial-up for a long time. Good old rural dial-up.
Oh, yeah, you could do AOL Instant Messenger over dial-up pretty good, but anything else other than that, but... So, and there was a lot of information being put on there, manuals, and just the company started seeing what this thing internet was going to be capable of, I think, at that point. So, so I did a lot of research, 2007, 2008, whatever, on all this equipment. I mean, the first time I opened the manual for the processor, it was like 600 pages long. I'm like, oh my good Lord, this is this is a little daunting or a little overwhelming at first, but once you figure out what you're trying to look for, you just worry about that stuff and move on. So same with drives. That's variable frequency drives, same thing. The first time I opened a book, I'm like, there's graphs and just trying to show you torque and all sorts of different aspects these things can do, and it's just like, all right, Now it's just like, all right, I only need to do this and this. So you look at three pages and go. So
it's like going through the mo, not really, but it's kind of just, you know, where you got to look, find it.
Yeah. You're on. Yeah. 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 And different models have different manufacturers have different names for things. So you just got to look at when you apply things, you just got to look at things just a little differently, but they're all built the same. They're all designed the same, I should say. And, they all have the same theory behind them. So they're just, screens are different. Some only have a little 3-line screen you got to run through. And then there's other ones that have, three actual lines of information that have very knowledgeable. And then there's, Alan Bradley that has Ethernet. I'm sure they're all getting that way though, but Ethernet, you can pop right on my laptop and, see every parameter in that drive and what that drive is doing. So, I did that last night.
It's probably the nicest one of them all. You know, yeah, plug into a computer and
yeah. I mean, you pay for it, but Alan Bradley is the premier automation for the U.S. If you want something built really well, you use Alan Bradley, and the rest of the world's Siemens. It's kind of interesting. And then there's other kind of stuff that's used, so, and I use it a lot too. So Alan Bradley's just, well, we use it strictly at one facility we do work at, and it works really well, and it's very capable, and our salesmen that deal with it are just great and very knowledgeable on the stuff. So, and Alan Bradley has everything published, so you just got to go online and research.
A lot of reading then.
Yes. Yep.
So are these computers just getting smaller or faster?
Yes, very faster. They're on gigabit Ethernet, faster. Their processors are running a lot better. We're just improving like as we should, just everywhere. So
yeah, what's that law? There's something law where the speed of processing doubles every X amount of year. I can't remember what the guy's name was. There was some guy who came out with a theory.
Is there?
Said that, yeah, you're going to double. Andy knows, my brother, he knows the name of it. But every X amount of years, you can double the speed of your processors and computers. And but then you hit a point where,
yeah
you can't, you know, it's kind of like diminishing return. So, right. But anyway, it's
where technology's going to have to make a big leap to keep going.
Yeah.
So,
but they're still doing that then. It's still every year, every few years, it's a better and faster process. Yes.
Yep.
I've always wanted to ask you, so just like you have new versions of cars and trucks that come out, is it the same with processes in terms of some of them are really awful and it's like you don't want to use, they have bugs or they kind of gotten the bugs figured out on most of them?
Yeah, no, I think they've gotten the bugs fixed out. They have different models. Like you have your Volkswagen Beetle compared to your F-350 6.7 diesel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're good.
So they have different features, more memory, more memory to hold ladder logic, more memory to be able to process and be able to bring all these sensors back and see all this different information. There's small little ones that just take and use a little bit of information. You can make timers and turn lights on and off to some temperature-based stuff. And then there's ones that we use on Ethernet to run an Ethernet cable to a variable frequency drive. And that Ethernet cable tells that drive what to do, and it brings all the information back. So it's just what you want to spend money on and what you want to, how you want everything to be employed. So
like you said, basically you can take any of these chips and make it do whatever you want. It's just a matter of programming it to such a thing.
Yep. So, we actually have a Alan Bradley. This is a motor overload unit that is Ethernet based. So, we actually just plug an Ethernet cable into it and it will, you just add some wiring to it according to their documentation for a contactor. So to pull the contactor in and out, we can actually watch all 3 leg amps. And there's a couple other things we can watch through this thing back on the main computer screen at this facility. And so we don't, that's you just run one cable instead of running six different cables to be able to put current CT current coils around the wires going to the motor. So you don't got to watch. It just makes things more efficient that way. I can actually get in anywhere in the world and look at this unit if there's something wrong and see what's going on with it. When they have a problem, they can call me and be like, oh, Bri, there's something's wrong with this. And we go in and check it out and see what's going on. So,
since it's all hooked up, Ethernet, wire, or internet.
Yeah.
It's all internet based. Yep. So, yeah, you can.
Yep.
So you can get on. Can you fix it, or can you just diagnose? If you're out of town, it's like I'm in another state.
Yeah, you can diagnose. You can hit reset. You can hit reset. You can do that. That's a big thing.
you could shut someone. You could make someone's day miserable if you really wanted to be.
You could. This one, you really can't actually turn it on from internet. But the drives and stuff like that, you could actually. If you wanted to, you could start and stop things. So I really like this because you can actually, so in typical three-phase motor applications on fans or alley scrapers or anything of that kind of nature, if a motor overload, you'd have to shut the power off, swing the door open, and hit a little blue button on the overload unit. Where these, you just hit reset on the computer screen and it automatically resets once if these things are, everything's set on them and cleared. You can clear the fault and keep going. So you don't actually have to shut power off and reset anything. It's just done over digitally and it just makes everything so much safer so people don't have to become potentially exposed to electricity. So
yeah,
that's a goal. That's a great goal to have. So
yeah, like, when you go out on some of these jobs, how much electricity are you working with when you're wiring? Like,
so we have a couple standards, but first I have a facility that we've installed wiring for 34,500 volts all the way down to 24 volts DC. Anything we did lots in 480 volts, which is extremely dangerous. If extremely dangerous, actually, we do 120 and 240 volts, and then I do a lot now in 24 volt DC. Back in that place in 2008, that's what we wired all the sensors in, and OSHA standards are if it's 50 volts and less, you can actually work on it energized if you want. So just changing out a sensor, you don't have to go shut anything off. 110, you need to shut it off because there's a potential for electric shock or even worse, electrocution. With 480 volt, you really want to make sure you turn that off because the potential for an arc flash is extremely prevalent. It is something that I hope I never see, and it just is. I don't want to see it. Actually, I'd better not see it.
Well, it's an arc flash. It's like basically a spark when you unhook something.
No. So, an arc flash is essentially a phase. It can be essentially a phase to ground fault. So, electricity on 480 could be very close, and it could jump and ionize through the air and create a big fire. And then once it jumps from phase to phase, it even gets even worse. So that is a very dangerous situation. So you need to make sure the equipment is off when you're working on it. So
holy cow.
Yeah. It's something to be very, very mindful of. There's no doubt. And a lot of these farms are going 480 volt three phase due to the length of the barns. Where if like you have one primary service with one generator, so you want everything under that 1 meter, so you just have one demand charge, so everything's just centrally located and you just branch out after that. So with 480 volts, you don't get a lot of voltage drop at that point, so you don't have to increase your wire size and compensate for long distances, where on 240 volt, you would start losing voltage at a pretty short distance, 300-400 feet. I mean, that's half of a barn sometimes nowadays. So, especially when you start throwing the fans on, you start bringing the line voltage down. It's
is that just through line loss, or that's just everything starts pulling? So it's like, you know, by the time you get to the end of the line,
yeah,
there's only so much.
No, it's line loss. It's a phenomenon, or I don't know if phenomenon is the right word, but it's just what happens. You try to compensate for it, run larger wire. You still have a little bit of voltage loss, but
so no one's been able to figure out how to basically you have to insulate it better. Is that the problem?
No, it's just you'd have to run really large wire just to compensate for it, because it's just going to happen no matter what.
Okay.
So yeah. So we do a lot with that. Lot in 480 volts, a lot. So a lot of all the fans, vacuum pumps, all that stuff is, everything's going to 480 volts on dairy farms if you got availability for it. There's no doubt. So and it's better because you can run smaller conduit and smaller wire as one bonus when you're close to your power sources. So
okay.
So and I mean, there's still a little loss, but nothing too extravagant, I guess. So yeah. But yeah, so we do a lot with that, and I like to try to mess up. I try to do a lot with 24 volt DC. That is definitely a great standard to have for automation and control. So
what's those, the 24 volt DC? Why is that so useful for automation?
A lot of devices run on that voltage. There's sensors that give us feedback and analog signal that need to run on 24 volts to give us that signal. Proximity sensors, they can run on a lot of different voltage, but 24 volts is a great voltage when you have people that need to work on things that aren't, I guess, they need to work on it and be safe. And you may not know where to shut the power off. So
kind of keeps people not sure what they're doing, or they're kind of new to it.
Yes.
It's safer. Yeah. Yep. You'd rather go zap by that than 480 any day.
Yeah. I mean, the 480 shock factor is there too, but the arc flash is definitely something more to keep in mind. That is a big thing in the electrical industry. Right now, big fire suit. Essentially, if you can, you need to shut it off, or the last preventative is putting essentially a bomb suit on to go and work on something. I mean, sometimes, yes, you need to put it on to go troubleshoot why this motor isn't working, and it's cumbersome. And
an actual bomb suit. Have you had
to? My previous company I worked for, we had 40 cal suits. And 40 calories, and we put them on when we would verify things were on, or to verify things were off. You'd shut it off, lock it out, tag it out, and then suit up and go in and grab your meter and go make sure this 480 volts is off, and then do what you need to, and then take the lock off and turn it back on once everything was safe and clear. So
wow.
Yeah,
but that'll protect you if there is some sort of
yeah, I mean, you want that as your last resort. There's no doubt.
So these places, like, not to get off track, but you take, this is on a dairy, you go to like some of these giant warehouses, like the, you know, I don't even know, some of these giant processing computer buildings out there, they must be pulling in even more, the amount of power some of these buildings yank, or is dairy actually pull more than you think compared?
So we had a NYSEG lineman foreman that was out of Auburn that was actually trying to bring engineers around, showing that the electricity consumption was getting more towards the dairies than actually in Auburn, because we're losing factories. and we're gaining more in ag. So he was trying to say, hey, you guys need to start doing something out here because we are using a lot of power out here to keep these, keep the cows cool, keep the milk, get the milk cold from 99 degrees down to 34, 36 degrees instantly for direct loading. And so using a lot of power out there in those facilities. So, yep. We have one place that we, this, where we did the 34,005, we actually have that ran right off the substation, and we have two very large 2,500 kVA transformers, so you can get 3,000 amps, 480 out of them, and they go right into motor control centers, and they run motors on a soybean extraction, soybean meal extraction plant. So, so yeah, we done a lot since 2001.
Come along. You probably never imagined when you first started. You, like, what did you think when you first got? You'd just be running wires, and not that you still don't do that,
but. Right. No, yeah. I mean, wiring houses, and I guess I didn't really know. We did a lot of wiring houses, did a lot of service changes when I first started. We changed a lot of services on houses, and did a lot of that. And then when we hit 2007, 2008, that just changed my mind on things. And that's the way we went. I mean, I had goals. Owning the business would be, it was something down the line, but I want to get my master's license, which I acquired in 2008 or nine, and for the city of Auburn. And then, I concentrated very heavily on automation at that point after that on variable frequency drives and started writing code on PLCs and stuff like that for different applications. And then in 2015, we put in a very large corn grinding system. Panel was already built. We just pulled the wires via schematics and went from there. We just did what the book said, and then I had to deal. Then I had to be on the phone with the engineers that built it. They're out in California, and then they'd remote in over the internet, and we'd fix a couple of things we found that needed to be addressed, or add a couple of things when we added some sensors that we didn't know we needed at that time. So we did that. And then in 2017, we built a very large bin, tower, dryer, and very large leg structure. And this is where I became very instrumental in automation. Before that, I was doing drives and did some smaller projects, but this was my, I guess, first large project. So we built a automated unload system and to unload trucks at via a little 12 inch touchscreen they had on a computer that they would just say, okay, I got corn or wet corn, it's got to go to this bin. So they just click all the right buttons and the corn just took off and where it needed to go to that bin.
A lot of talking. Mm-hmm. So you helped design that.
Yep. So me, the owner of the facility, and they brought in another gentleman that I've known for a very long time as well. He did all the programming and I did the hardware end. So I figured out what drives, what sensors, what wires we needed to run where, schematics. I drew schematics. At that point we were running, I think controlling 17 to 20 motors. we met our first meeting was supposed to be when, my oldest son, Jack, was born. So, that's always been a memorable moment. sitting there at midnight and I'm like, cause we were supposed to meet at like 4:35 in the morning to start start talking about this process. And I'm like, should I text them now or should I wait till, because I didn't know how things were going to progress.
Yeah.
You know, with,
yeah.
So we did that. So we met every week for 3-4 months for a couple hours once a week, discussing, fine tuning what we wanted to do with these 17 motors to get going. How to run grain from point A to point B, and then unload it through the tower dryer back into another bin that's already dried grain. And we wanted to watch motor amperage and how things fed. So we did a lot of that. So we did that very well. Then 2018, we built another bin, add some more controls and automation for that. Then in 2019, he wanted to build a soy meal plant. So he takes soybeans, brings them into a plant at 75 degrees at 10% moisture, and runs them through an extrusion process. And it ruptures the soybeans, and he takes the oil out of the soybeans, and then the oil is refined and processed, and then you have a very low fat, very high protein soy meal that is being fed to a lot of dairies now. So high horsepower motors, they were high horsepower at that point. 125 horse extruders with 60 horse motors on the oil presses to squeeze it out. We put some variable frequency drives on the presses so we could try to get those amps so they could speed up and slow down where they want that. They're monitoring the meal coming out of this press. So they just trying to make it a better quality product. So just slow it down a couple RPM or speed it up just a couple RPM just to try to get that very good material process out of it. So
quality control.
Yeah, quality control. Yep. So so we did that. We actually built I helped design a 52 or 53 Allen Bradley motor control center. Had multiple variable frequency drives, these E300s and soft starts in them. And then I also helped do the control aspect too. All the information on the sensors, I didn't program it still. I had a lot on my plate at that time. Me and the programmer became really good, close, worked really well together, and built this plant. We had help. I had five guys there. I gave them all sheets of paper and be like, here you go. You got to go do this and this while I go do that. So when we were building it, I would have to get up early. Well, get up, not early. I'd get up 4:35, hand draw schematics and go in at 7:30, 8, whatever. And then, hand these pieces of paper to my guys and say, here you go. You got to go do this for me with all wire numbers on it because we need to know where everything was going. Did that for like 2 months, 3 months. And then when I'd go home, I'd have dinner with my newborn son, my wife. And we would then Jack would go to bed. Emily would get rest too. And I'd be down in my office, keep drawing because I had to keep up. So.
Cranking it out.
Yeah.
You're on a schedule.
Yeah. We're on a very schedule.
Was this based on anything else out there? Or you guys are basically, these are our designs. They're kind of the way, you know, did you guys base this off of anything else in existence?
So yeah, they have these, I think they're out in Michigan. I did not go out and see them. I know the owner and a couple of his managers went out there and looked at them. These systems. I think there's some in Africa, South Africa, I think.
Okay.
They're out there. It's, but we, added some, we didn't buy any controls from the company that supplied the equipment. We designed and built it all ourselves. They guided us on what they wanted for stuff, and we tried to help make it a little bit better, we thought. So
put your own touch on it.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. So we did that. It was a fun project. It was fun.
And they're all up and functioning now, right?
Yeah. Yep. Then in 2020, the demand for this material became extremely, everybody wanted it. It's making the cows milk, and you're getting some very good results out of it. So so in 2020 he bought this machine, another extruder, another press, but these ones were they were very, very new concepts. One, the extruder had a 500 horse electric motor on it, and the oil press had a 250 horse electric motor on it. So he had 750 horse sitting right in line. That's like a John Deere 9630 or something. No, not even that, because I don't even know if they got that much horsepower, but there's a lot of horsepower sitting right there.
And the original ones were 125 and 60, right?
Yes.
So you're tripling. Or even more, and
doubling the output though.
Yeah,
okay, a little bit more than doubling the output.
So a single one could do the same as
two. Yeah. So before we did two lines with 225 horse. So we had one line with two 125 horse extruders feeding 160 horse press. This one we have a 500 horse motor feeding a 250 horse press. Wow. So. Yeah. That was pretty wild. Pretty crazy. That was cool. I had to design the soft start for the 500 horse, drives for the press. Really got into some really heavy stuff at that point.
Or when that thing fires up, it must make the lights dim a little bit, huh? A lot of power.
Yeah, when the 500 horses, when they're starting that up, the amps on some of the other motors start getting a little. Yeah, it's drawing a lot of current through. Wow. So
that's impressive.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. So very, 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 very cool stuff. Wow. Very cool stuff.
So then from there you eventually went out on your own, and you still do some of that work or assist.
Yep. So I assist. We're going to start another one here at some point. We got one on order, another for another line. And then, we got some more stuff we got to order here shortly. We got, large bin we're going to do, lots of motors on it. We're going to build another motor control center for that. And then, design for sensors to the whole sensor aspect on the bin is so try to remove the human error, for like mixing products and stuff. So that can't happen. They did a lot with non-GMO and GMO corn, so we could not mix those together at all. Those got to be strictly, they're audited, and we have quite the process so that they cannot combine. So and now they're doing it with the soy meal. They're doing non-GMO and GMO soybeans, and then they're going to be doing Plenish as well. So
Plenish.
Yeah, it's a you'd have to ask Brian Shields more about it, but it's a soybean that's got a little bit more protein, I think. I can't remember what it's another brand or another line of soybeans. So.
Okay. You'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yep. So that's going to become a real big thing, I think. So.
Wow. There's a lot of beans and corn running through there.
Yes, there is. Yep. Yep, there's a lot. So,
do you want to check out some of the pictures you brought along?
Yeah, I brought some videos and some pictures. We got a bunch of stuff we can look at.
There we go. Yeah.
So this is a dairy farm, and this picture is of a PLC that was put in either 91 or 93, and it's seen its time. Lightning strikes were very problematic with it, taking out a lot of stuff. And in 2016, they decided we needed to change that. So we started taking out the old and putting in a new one, whole new system.
So yeah, this is an old, before, like you told me beforehand, before its time, kind of, this is kind of one of the original.
Yeah, yep. So this is one of the original kind of systems that a dairy runs the parlor, runs fans, runs lights. Yeah, it was very, very progressive back then, for sure. Very. So, and with the lightning strikes, there was getting a lot of card. They weren't making parts for these things anymore. You couldn't get parts available. So, it was time to upgrade. So
stuff's become obsolete, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Where I was going to cost a lot of money to send the card out, and still needed this card to do stuff to get repaired. So.
Yeah, so you'll see what it looks like after Brian swaps it over to modern tech.
Yep. So this is I built the panel on the left, and we put it on a piece of metal and set it on a 2x4 pedestal because we could not shut down for 2 days. They still needed to milk cows. So we just took wire off and just moved it from one to another. We had Institute Prologic program for the new one, and we had to remove stuff out of the old one so things could still work. So it was quite a process. It was one of my bigger ones. I really took a while to do. There was a lot of homework on that too, because there was some of how the cards on the old system were wired compared to the new ones. Talking to how they were with variable frequency drives. There was a lot of things that needed to be done right the first time. And, we just couldn't, with the 24 DC, it could be a problem if something was not wired correctly.
And you're trying to, like you said, you'll shut down a portion of it.
Yep.
So you don't want it shut down for very long. And if you run into a snag or something, that's just, there's a lot on, you got that in the back of your mind, I'm sure, oh crap, I screwed, you're going to have to wait another hour.
The big thing was the wash. When we had we did what we could, and then we just said, we got to go for it. It was all or nothing on the wash. You couldn't just segment things out. You had to move everything over. And it's actually funny. We were doing it, and we were letting the wash run. We were having some problems working through it. I was there very late that night. And I remember looking at the clock saying, oh, it's 12:15. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we could have brought you some. We didn't know. So,
crack a cold one.
Yeah. So, we had that. That was fun. Learned a lot on that one as well. That was always the goal, is just trying to keep moving forward, just trying to learn this stuff and try to keep building better and helping the dairies try to progress. So,
probably if you had to do one of these now, it'd be like, oh, that's not too.
It still takes some homework. Just there was a lot of different multi voltages with the old system, and we converted it all over to 24 DC. The old one, there was 24 AC, 120 volts AC. some 24 volts DC, and then there was just some analog signals that were strictly for a drive. You can't, yeah. So there was a lot to do with it. So yep. We're just trying to move wires from one to the other because eventually we're going to get rid of the old one and take it, the new piece off and put it right on that door that's hanging. So,
got all those wires. Oh, there's no rodent nests were there.
No rodent's nest. Nope.
Look at all those. I mean, it's like a friggin' 5,000 lane highway. It looks
yeah,
like.
Oh yeah.
I mean.
Yep. Yep. We had a very good circuit tracer because we had to figure out where a lot of the wires weren't. I mean, back in 93, they actually labeled each end of the wire. I mean, that's industry standard, but back then it was just like, wow, that's wild that they did that. And great they did, because
it made your job a lot easier.
Yeah, yes, it did. Yeah, yeah.
Trace all those things. Holy cow.
Yep, yep. So, oh yeah, because a yellow, there's one spot, there's 40 yellow wires, and what yellow wires what without a label on it. So you just got to make sure everything's got to be labeled correctly. So,
yeah. That's incredible. Yeah, like I said, you aren't just an electrician, you're an electrical engineer. Really, you are.
Well, yeah, I've been called that. I mean, I've actually only gone to, I only have a high school diploma and I've just learned from there. But
hey, you know a lot more than, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
You really didn't have any secondary school. You did both, but it's not like you basically learned this on the job and self-taught, wasn't it?
Yes, yep, yep.
That's impressive.
Yep.
Very impressive.
Yep, yep. Oh. Yep. I mean, in 07, 08, I mean, when we were building that place, the owner, he was very knowledgeable. He took me under, he helped me out a lot. And then Chris Cherry also helped me a lot too on that project. He helped me a lot, showed me a lot of different things too. So
they're smart guys.
Yes,
too,
they are.
Cherry Brothers.
Yes, yes, they are. So yeah, that's me
cranking her out. But you said the vacuum pumps are right next door, weren't they?
Yeah, vacuum pumps are right behind the. They're a couple feet away from that, so you had to have earmuffs on because it got pretty loud in there. All the utility equipment's in there. It's all big utility room. So
you basically listen to that all day when you're in there because they're milking 24/7. So
wow. Yep. 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 So, just some more wiring going on. Got it mounted, and we're just starting to now going to start trying to button all the wires up and make it look nice and pretty. So
wow, that's a finished product.
That's a finished project.
It does, like you're saying, it's definitely a lot smaller and neater. And
yep, runs a lot cooler too. There's not as much heat coming from the processor and stuff before it was getting really hot, so this helped cool it down quite a bit. So
is there, and it looks like there's actually room for more if they wanted to do more.
There's we have extra outputs relays there's extra spots in the PLC itself to add more cards to, yes, there's availability to add more stuff. That panel is pretty tight, but there's now with Ethernet availability, you can just go next door if you need to and just put another either rack in or controller in and run and go. So
doesn't have to be directly out. You can have it next door and run an Ethernet cable.
It was having an Ethernet cable.
That's pretty darn easy.
Yeah. Yep. Very, very. So, yep. So yeah, and just some more close-ups. Everything's I got labels. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, you got to be proud after you do all that. I mean, that's an accomplishment. So you can see like that. That's got to be.
Yep.
It's kind of like with doing all those bins and stuff. When you see that thing working, it's got to be quite.
It is
quite the feeling.
It is. Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's no doubt that it's like, wow, I did all that. That's just phenomenal.
Yeah, Not many people can. I would be like, yeah, nope. Let me know when you're done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I'm on most of these projects. I do a lot on the hardware based. The owner did the programming, and him and I work very closely, very well together. We have a very good respect for each other. And, and you got to have that to be able to work on these things, just to communicate and just to keep moving. So
group effort.
Yes. Yep. As my wife, if she watches, she'll laugh. The programmer for the grain farm, he always goes, teamwork makes the dream work. So
yeah.
So Jack will say that once in a while. She'll shake her head.
Rubbing off.
Yep. Yep.
True though.
Yep. Yep. So yes. So yeah, we got that done, and that was quite a process. It was fun though.
How long did you say it took you to do this?
I believe it took 4 weeks to do that, on and off. He was in the middle of chopping, I think, hay at the time too. So I'd come up there, do what I could, and then he'd come back from chopping, and we could do things, and then I'd call it a day and go home, and then come back the next day. So it took us a while, and you had to segment things out. Like I said before, you couldn't just shut the place down for 2 days and rip everything out and start over and go, because you were still milking cows. You still had to wash the pipeline. You still had to run the fans. You just could not shut the main breaker off and just go.
Yeah.
So
yeah. But if you could, it would take 2 full days, you said.
I don't know. It may have taken a week because what we were doing. But it took us longer. But we had to do it this way. I believe there was another farm that did this too, and they were just as long or longer doing it. So So I wasn't part of that. I just, yeah, talking to people, heard about. So yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's probably becoming more and more common just with the way all these electronics are going.
Yep, yep. And everyone knows the labor thing. You got to start trying to find things that this thing can do, unfortunately, that tasks that can be done while other tasks can be done by people. So
yeah.
So that's just, unfortunately, going to be the goal. So
yeah, automation. Yeah. Yeah.
I got people that are putting feed mixers in to mix commodities in place. And so when the feed mixer rolls in, it's all you got to do is dump that in and go get the corn silage and haylage and dump it in the feed wagon and go, because you already got your pre-mix already. You already got your materials already mixed, the grains and stuff already go in. And then so it's just taking less time for a feeder to feed cows.
Yeah.
Because it takes a long time sometimes to feed cows.
Yeah. More efficient.
Yes. Yep. So this is a rotary. Having some communication issues with this PLC. We're actually slated to change it out with a different one. It's just not sure if Lightning Strike keeps taking out the protocol, the serial communication port on it. We're not, it has before, this time it's failed, and we're not really sure what happened. They just noticed the smack cell count started coming up, so we started investigating and found that was an issue. So that's on my to-do list in the next couple of weeks. So yep. This is the
it's a video.
Yeah, it's a video. This is the Auburn Citizen. I used to have to come in there and help get the press going late at night on that, because they'd print at night. So they'd call me midnight, 1 a.m. when it'd be broke, so I'd have to go in.
How old is this electronic setup?
This is I think 70s, but it had newer controls on it. They ripped out, I think it was like a 1950 or 1960 print and press, and I can't remember how many colors that was, but this was a 12 color press, It was something cool to watch when it was printing the paper. It was when you got that thing going at night, you're tired and you got it going and you're just like, wow, this is freaking cool, man.
I've never seen one of those things.
Unfortunately it's not there anymore, but it was always something really cool to sit there and watch make the paper. So
yeah, we'll play the video. I'm not sure if the sound will get captured.
Yeah.
But people can still see if it's silent for those just listen to audio. We're just watching a video, 10 seconds.
Yeah. So it goes through all the ink rolls and just comes out. It's already pre-folded and already recut, and it just goes up that conveyor and out into the stacker room. And then they stack it and bundle it and goes out on the delivery truck.
So it comes out all printed, folded, and then they just stack it, bundle it, and throw it in.
Yep. They have inserters that would actually blow air in between the pages and lift the page and throw like those flyers that you used to get.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it'd throw them in there, and then you would stack it and band it if they needed to do it those days. So
wow, I thought that they had to put those suckers in by hand. They can blow them in. That's pretty cool.
Slight amount of air pressure just to lift the page, just
Oh, that's pretty darn cool. I did not know that. Wow. Those printing presses are pretty. It's cool how people are able to make these things work so well when we didn't have the stuff we have today.
Yes. Yep. I wanted to get a tour of the post-standard one, and I never have gotten a chance to. They say that one's a city block wide by, I forget, 5-6 stories tall for the post-standard press. It just, wow. Yeah, it sounds awesome, but yeah, so.
You have to think of some of these huge, well, I guess like you take like the Wall Street Journal or something like that, like a lot of pages, it goes ever, but I'm sure.
They probably have multiple.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. So yeah, you'd have to for maintenance and all that stuff. So.
So would they outsource the printing to somewhere else?
Yeah, they do now. There's a big printery over in Canandaigua, I believe, that prints a lot of regional papers.
Newer.
Yeah.
Runs off these guys.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I would think it'd have definitely Allen Bradley stuff in it, gear in it. Yeah. Yep. Or Siemens. Either one, depending on where they ordered the press from. So,
okay.
So, yep. That's just a breaker I took a screenshot of that was overheating, tripping, and found that loose connection. So,
okay. So that's obviously the problem. It just wasn't, you had to tighten it, or is it a bad end?
I had to take it off, recut it because it burnt, the copper was discolored and stuff, and put it back in and cranked it right down. Actually, the bolt holding the lug on for that breaker was loose. So I actually had to pull the breaker out and tighten everything up inside it too. So yeah.
Was this like right on your phone, or you have an actual?
Yep. There's it's actually my laptop case behind you. There's a little camera that you plug right in on your phone, and it makes this picture come up on your phone.
So you can just, that's pretty cool.
Oh, very.
So that's telling you where it's.
Yep. Yep.
What the temperature is.
Yep. That's, yep. Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah. It's fun to watch. Cool. It's fun to watch and play with.
So that can probably find a lot if you have issues.
Yeah, because heat is a major issue for electrical components. So, it's really helpful. And just looking at it, you can see the current coming through the wires.
That's so cool.
Yep.
Look at that.
Yep. Yep. So this is the motor control center that at this grain farm. We were having problems with this drive, variable frequency drive, overheating. So I had to tear it apart. I got my vacuum cleaner right there in that picture. Great, by the way. I love Milwaukee Tools. that little square case is actually a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, that battery right there?
Yep, that's a battery-powered shop vac.
Nice.
Yeah, the thing is wonderful to use. just to clean and just go. I use that thing all the time. So I changed some cooling fans in it. So I'd take the thing off, take it apart. I actually took it off out of the bucket, we call those, the structure that it's sitting in. And I actually cleaned out the heat sinks in the back of the drive, and it had some dust and stuff on it, and we cleaned that out, put it back together, put the new fans in it, and away we went. So
four.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. So yep, it's fun.
Why doesn't it want to go? Oh. There we go.
There you go. And it's still just, yep.
Just another.
Yeah, just another picture. That's MCC on both sides. My computer down at the end. sitting there talking to whatever device I need to, so I can sit there and just see what's going on. So.
And you and your guys, you and your crew, guys were helping you.
Yep.
You guys wired and installed all this stuff.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. We put all that in. We put all the wires in. Delivery truck rolled in. They came in sections. We had to roll it in, get it off the pallets, bolt it all together, bolt all the bus bars together. There was, I think it, the one on the right is actually a back-to-back unit. I think that took us 3-4 days to just get set and bolted together. It took us a little time. So,
and you were drawing up schematics for all this stuff, how stuff was going around.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And you were working with your team.
Working with the team. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So the one on the right left is 2000. We call this, the one on the right is 2019. The one on the MCC, the one on the left is 2020 MCC, just the year edition years.
Okay.
we put them in. So
they built it large enough to be able to add on.
Yeah. More. Yep. So that's us. We were putting together, and behind all those black switches, there's actually the big large transformers is right there.
Right there. That's a transformer.
Yep. That's the big transformer that converts the power from 34.5 down to 34,500 volts down to 277,480 volts usable power at that time, at that point. I mean, they do use they use 4,160 volts for 500 horse and larger motors. And I think they use 13,500 volts for like 2,000 horse motors. So, I've never seen one.
2,000 horse motors. Yeah,
I've never seen one. I've heard big sawmills, and I've heard there's places that have really, really large motors. So
holy cow.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
Yes. So as we got moving along, we needed better tools. So we have this old meter, and I call this my house meter now. Just sits in my truck, in my glove box in my truck. So this is just a nice little Fluke voltage and amp meter. What we're looking at right now is I have a new meter that this guy can actually connect to my phone, so I can actually watch information from this meter go right to my phone, so we can safely look at things when we need to, while we're trying to troubleshoot stuff. So this is a 350 horse motor starting and running. So that's running current on that motor is 396 amps at 480 volts. So, I just need to be better. So be safer. That's the goal. I want to go home at night. I got two boys and got a girl and my wife. So, and everyone's got to be better. And this is one way to do it, a great way. So you can actually shut the power off, put the meter in place, close everything back up, turn the power on, and connect to your phone and watch what's going on.
It's like right here, right?
Yep, just like that. That's a soft start. For that 350 horse motor, I shut all the power off, put the meter in place, connect to the phone, shut all the doors, turn the power back on, and let that motor rip and watch what it's doing. So So
like you said, you aren't standing 2 feet away and letting all that current right. run through.
No, yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah. No, that's dangerous. Very extremely. I mean, when a motor's getting going, you can have, so take that 390 amps and times that by 6 is actually how much current could be coming through when it's trying to start that motor. So, you're going to have a lot of electricity coming through that at that point.
Holy cow.
It's dangerous situation. Extremely. So, Fluke is coming out with some very, very good, meters to be able to offset that. So, the other companies are too, but Fluke is a great meter brand. So yeah.
Yeah. We'd rather spend whatever. That's priceless. Who cares what it costs if it blows up?
Exactly. Exactly.
It did its job.
Yes. Yeah. It keeps you out of harm's way. So, the price is negligible at that point. Yeah. So
it's kind of like,
And that's my go-to meter anymore is that one. I just love using it. We were having a problem at Green Hill and I had it linked to my tablet and just sat there all day just watching an air compressor because there was an air compressor having problems. So just walk by and plot that chart out and just sit there and look at what it's doing. So
that's probably another interesting that you plug it to your iPad and you can graph stuff and everything. Yep. So you can if you aren't standing there, you can see what happens over an hour. Huh.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot more useful than
very. Yep. Very. So yeah. This is a chiller at Green Hill. So back in 2000, this is a 80 horse chiller, so they can set up so they can direct load. Oh,
sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine. Direct load to a tanker when they get ready. They just installed a parallel 30 parlor. So back in 2020, I formed my LLC. And got things rolling that way. And on January 1st, 2021, I went and met with Don Jansen and his family and Don Jansen. And we discussed terms about, and he was going to build a freestall. So he wanted me to come on board. And so I left my company in May of 2021 and wired the freestall and did other things electrically and during this past winter, we wired his new parlor in. So, Sidek did all the milking stuff for it. But lights and we got fans, we got a wire. I actually have a control panel getting built right now for holding area fans to put on drive to go with the temperature. So on a 50 degree day, it still might be really hot in there with you got all the cows in there. So let the fans just run. And as the crowd gate keeps moving forward, the heat's going to dissipate. So you don't need the fans running as fast. So we're working on that right now. But anyways, Don really helped me get going and, been very grateful and, just trying to help wherever I can. So that was great.
And you kept going. You haven't had a chance to since then with everything else that comes up.
Yeah, I haven't slowed down.
that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
So this chiller will take milk down to what,
34, 36. It's right around there. I'm not sure.
And then they can directly load onto a trailer that's sitting in their yard.
The truck
guy comes with the tractor and
hauls it away. Takes it away. So, there's another place that does that with a rotary. Actually, I think most of them are going that way now. Just direct load. Yep. Yeah. Makes sense. And then you don't got to keep storing the milk and cooling it and all that stuff.
All the washers. Hey there, buddy.
So, this is the freestall I wired for there. it's a nice barn. It's a real cow comfort barn. Insulated ceiling. Yeah. Insulated ceiling. I actually got these lights going and I came back at 10 o'clock that night and said, I gotta go see what this thing looks like all lit up at night. So, So I went back there and just started taking pictures and just was very...
That's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, this is... Yeah, August, I think. The fans are sending iron, so just ran power to them. And again, those are on variable frequency drives, so they just come on and off with temperature. So
those insulated barns are real nice.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, those are all LEDs, obviously.
All LEDs.
Look how lit up that is. But are those on sensors, so they shut off at any point? They're always on all night?
No, they're right now they're on just switches. We're gonna make them so they go on and off. That's sitting on my table too to to finish. And so essentially they were going to just turn them on and off when they got to go through for her check and then just come on. We actually were going to try to have them come on 15 minutes before the parlor called for them, for the group to go get milked.
Okay.
So we were actually going to set it up so we could turn the lights on from the parlor, which is 1500 feet away from this barn, to so they just go hit a switch on a screen or a button somewhere to say, okay, this group's ready, turn the lights on. And so just try to save a little energy.
If you have Wi-Fi or like Bluetooth, can you do that wirelessly?
It'll be right through their network. So they have Dairy One there. So the place has internet everywhere.
Yeah.
So it would just run right through the network on the facility.
You don't have to worry about running a 1500 foot cable for a switch.
Yep. Just goes, yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to shoot the goals for. Yeah, so
make it wireless.
Yeah. It'd just be right through their internet network. And instead of running 1500 feet of wire, it's the internet's to every barn. All you gotta do is just assign IP addresses and just go. So it's I find that stuff awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
So this is at one of Eric's old relatives' farms. Uh-huh. Just a small little corn grinder system I built automation for. And again, it's just there so you can just let it run, hit the start button, let it run, and walk away while you're feeding cows. This thing's making ground corn for you. So just runs, and until the bin's full, then it shuts off. Or if you want to come in and shut it off, you can come shut it off. So just trying to help more efficiencies.
Yeah, yep. Labor.
Yep. This is actually Jack. I'm not sure. This is a video too.
This is our place.
It is.
Oh.
I was wondering.
Yeah, my God, that looks familiar. That cow looks familiar. She's no longer with her, 2439, but that looks just like her.
I was going to see if you caught on to that. This is Jack just walking up through the barn one day while we were here, just wandering around. He's just waving at the
cows. He was a little guy.
I think he was two, probably.
See yourself? There's Jack right there.
He's right here. He's been here with us the whole time. See Jack?
See that?
See the video? That's you waving at the cows. Remember that? So yep.
The next electrician.
Yeah, let's hope him and Henry and the girl. Yeah, baby girl on the way. Yep. We'll see what we can get going here. So we're gonna need them. We're gonna need everyone we can get.
Yeah, electricians are in high demand.
Yes. Yep. So this is a very proud moment right here. This is that 500 horse motor. We're actually going to start it the first time with an iPad. It's just something to be completely proud of, I guess.
Fire up.
Yeah, fired up. That's right.
Okay, we're going to start a 500 horse motor off this iPad.
I really hope that sound goes through. I don't know.
I hope people will be able to hear it.
The thing is winding if you can't hear it.
Yeah, it sounds really cool when it's running.
Just with a click of an iPad.
With a click of an iPad. This is all Alan Bradley stuff. That's all Alan Bradley software. it's all user on that. the programmer built all these pages and put all the motors on them where they are. And you pop up and watch any kind of information from that device that's in your hand or any drive. It just helps troubleshooting and just trying to learn what processes are, what things are doing on the machine during the process. So try to make things help, try to make things run better and get a better quality meal out of it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes, very. Yeah, that was something pretty cool.
I mean, as much as that thing, why I can only imagine if you took a four times that size, a 2,000 horsepower, yeah. You think you'll ever be wiring one of those things?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I mean, never say never, I guess, but I haven't seen anything that big around here, but never say never. I mean, there could be something in a mine somewhere or something, but
yeah, you got the salt mines.
You
never ventured down there to work on anything?
No, they got all their own crews and stuff, but it'd be interesting to go tour for sure.
That'd be a cool thing to see.
They have all their own stuff to. So, yeah. Just that rotary gun still just trying to. Yeah. And still, I took a lot of pictures. I think I was taking pictures of actually looking at what stuff was doing on the computer. And because we use the computer screen to tell us what the. PLC or the programmable logic controller, as it's called, was doing. So I was taking pictures at that time just to go and bring them back and say, okay, it's doing this and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So then the big thing, the next thing I'm working on doing, I got a lot of fires in the
stove.
Yeah.
Or in the oven.
Yeah. So, my wife, Emily, her father has started doing maple syrup. He was building barns and doing this stuff. And now he wants to gear towards this. So we, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, he asked me if I could do some drives, hook some drives up for him. So I did that. And that went well. Then he bought this evaporator. And last year... last year I built a controller that you could watch all the temperatures and all the pans on this evaporator. So you could actually see when, the syrup was being made. If you need to add a little extra water into the boiling process, because if the syrup was getting made too soon, you were going to start losing your product wasn't going to be as good.
Okay.
So we made that and actually based that valve right here, or you see the liquid coming out, that valve opens and closes according to the temperature of the syrup in the pan. So we did that last year. Worked great. My first beta one. We're working on trying to develop that a little bit better to be able to just sell. So this is a video too. So...
let's watch it.
The maple syrup in progress right here. That's my temperature readouts. You can set alarms and when pans are getting too hot. So
that thing right now is running off of that and it's opening and closing based on temperature.
Yeah. Yep. And we also have it set. So I have alarms in there. So if we wanted to, we could actually shut the heat supply off to that evaporator because there's big concerns of burning the pans and the pans are very expensive being stainless.
Oh, yeah.
So, as you would know, because everything in dairy equipment and the milking equipment is stainless for food grade. So,
yeah.
So, we built that. And this year we improved on it. We put some modulating valves on it to help get that quality even better. This is another evaporator at another guy actually built this panel for too. So we put modulating valves in. So if you want to say you're boiling syrup at 218 degrees and you are running 219, it opens it up a little bit to get it back down to 218. And then If you drop below, it closes it just a little bit to just try to keep it right at 218 degrees or 220, whatever they're boiling at that point. And it's freaking pouring out right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Goodbye, sunshine.
I see the flag moving, too. Yeah. So.
Oh, I had the window here. Maybe I'll shut down the windows quick.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, some of them are on temperature and rain sensors, so the cat barn will close up. Some of the other barns won't.
Yeah.
That's not
good
for
road. Yeah. All right. There's only 30% charge on that thing. I'm glad it hasn't gone dead yet. So, anyways, we built that. I built this one this year. Hopefully, I can build a couple more next year.
Are these inexistent in the maple industry?
They have essentially just one watch, one, the end pan where the valve watches temperature and just goes out from there. So,
but it's not as, can do as much as this thing.
No, nope. Can't shut the heat off as far as I know. I mean, I'm still new to this industry. They may be starting to put that stuff right in evaporators, but this is a brand new evaporator. Didn't really have that stuff in it. So maybe you can order it with it, special order or whatever. But, so yeah, we got that going on.
There's a guy I know who does a lot of syrup. I think he listens to this. So maybe, maybe I'll get him. he'll have some questions. I don't know. Maybe they already have it. They do like 170 some thousand taps.
Holy cow. That's big. Yeah. That's real big.
They have a 5,000 cow dairy. Plus they do that up in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
Cool guy. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I'm also in the works of developing I got all the components at home, building a pump, a remote pump system. So they use vacuum pumps on the trees to pull the sap down through.
Okay.
So my goal is to build these devices that you can actually watch from your phone and start and stop the pumps, see if there's problems at the pumps. So, so that's the goal for this year.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty cool stuff.
You know, it's wild, man. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah. You know, it's such a, you're almost kind of like you can be like a pioneer in an industry, which is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Was that a bit? No, that's just another picture.
No. Yeah. These are all just pictures. Yep. So, yep. That's you can see the temperature probes all there. Those are the white things right there. Yeah. Those are the probes all sticking into the pan. So you can monitor temperature of the syrup coming in and boiling at that point. All right from that screen. So, and this is me actually at home testing that same box, making sure it's all good and bulletproof before I go out. Cause when things go bad, you don't want to drive 4 hours to go fix it.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure and it's my name. You got to make sure these things are what you're selling. So
absolutely.
So those are another couple of meters that actually simulate temperature and signals. So that I have at home. And that's just the temperature readout of my father-in-law's evaporator, just showing just raw cold temperatures at that point. They're only 30 degrees. So this is a new improved screen. 221.2 is where they want to be boiling at. And that's where that valve modulates at. And then we also put a pressure sensor on the inflow of sap coming in so that we can control a modulating valve on the inflow to help keep a steady flow of sap inside this evaporator too. So
does this almost make it so this can be done maybe not hands off, but it significantly reduces the amount of time you have to be?
They're still there watching it because you still have to, there's still processes after you're boiling. So they're still there, but it helps watch and it's your monitor. So you don't have to watch it as much. Correct.
It's another set of eyes.
Yeah.
In a way,
yeah. Yep. Say. Yep. 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 Yeah. Just, this is my father-in-law's pan. He's got six pans. There's probes in each pan. Yep. 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 And just another screenshot of the process I made. Actually, the little flames come on and the little smoke out of this chimney stacks come on after the primary temperature comes up over 100 degrees. Those just pop on. It's just something little. It's a little funny. Fun. Yeah, yeah, a little fun to put in. So, so yeah, and that's it. Boiling away with temperature readouts and stuff. So. So, yeah, there's a vodka plant that I do work at. We just change motors, and I got to reprogram drives when we change the motors. They want me to put a UPS system on there, very large controller. But that's sometime here when I
fit it in.
Yeah, when I can fit it in. So they said no big rush, but when stuff crashes, then it'll be a problem. But so they're very great to work for. So
they make vodka out of whey as well, don't they?
Yes, they use cow whey from Chobani and other places that have whey from byproduct from yogurt. So they make vodka out of whey. So it's really interesting.
It's not bad. I had some.
No, yeah.
You had brought some to Thanksgiving, I think,
yep,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So.
Yeah. And isn't there an orange flavored?
They're doing flavored ones now. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And the orange was good. Lime was, I think it was lime or lemon. One of them. I think they do both. Was really good with Sprite. Mixed real well with Sprite.
Lemon.
You didn't even know you're headed in there. So
that could be dangerous.
Oh yeah. these are just some Siemens reversing motor solid state motor starters. I really like using these things on small horsepower motors just to reverse motors. I have a lot of them up at that grain farm for side gates or when they're filling trucks. So it just opens and closes. They just work very well, very well. I don't know. I just like that picture, I guess. these are some variable frequency drives I put in over at our Uncle Brian Shields on his grain dryer for a pneumatic air system. So coming out of the dryer, instead of having a leg, they just use air and push the beans or soybeans or corn out of the dryer up into the bin. They just use air pressure.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Just more efficient, use less power?
Less maintenance, I think. You don't got to go climb a 80-foot leg to go grease the bearings at the top. Everything's low. Everything's on the ground. So, yeah.
Like, you have like a giant air compressor, just blast a constant?
No, it's just big fans. Two, I think they're 20 horse motors on two fans, and you just bolt them together and just spool them up and away you go. So
cool.
Yeah, it was nice. Yep. Nice little project. I'm glad he called Okay. Yeah. Glad he called to come do that. Help wire in the dryer controls, start and stop them. So yeah, that's
a little snapshot of what you do on a daily basis.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Nice. Yeah. Along with wiring, I got addition I'm wiring right now for a house, and, I do a lot in this industry. I really enjoy working in it. So
I know a lot of people enjoy having you work for them. So we have a lot of good reviews out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. No problem. I do absolutely my best I can every day. So
there's no doubt. Kind of wrap this up a little bit, and yep. I guess I always like to ask people if you weren't doing electrical or weren't doing agriculture, what do you think you would be doing?
Boy, I don't know.
Anything?
Yeah, it's still something. Probably working with my hands, I guess. Building something. I mean, the farming side is just groomed you to just always be productive, I guess.
Busy.
Doing stuff. I I've thought about this question. I guess I don't really, unfortunately, have an answer because I really don't know.
Well, you must be. You really like what you do then, obviously.
I do. Yes, I do. Yep. I do. The one thing that might be better is just sitting in a tractor raking hay or driving a tractor. That's just great. So
by yourself, just kind of.
Yeah. Or a new cab tractor. I'll have Jack in there with me this past summer. One day, Dad wanted help round baling. So I went over, Jack and I jumped in the mower, mowed the field, and started round baling. And Dad was wrapping the bales right behind us. So, and Jack was absolutely loving it. So it was a great day.
Kind of a little bit of a change of pace where it's not the whole, it's kind of just, it's relaxing. Really.
Yes, it is. It really is. It really is. It really is. Just you're still working, but.
And you get to be with Jack too.
Yeah, absolutely. And showing him what I used to do as so. Yeah, it's fun. So and he loves it. He's ready for next. He's ready for this year. He's ready to start round baling already. So
he should be like, no, Jack, we're gonna do the way I used to do. We'll get an old square baler on, and then you'll really see how much fun it is.
Oh yeah. Last fall, I forget when it was. Dad had a wagon full of hay, so he had Jack in there, Quinn in there, he had Christine and Martin, and I think I was there was a bunch of us in there. It was just one little wagon full, but we're all in there helping just unload it. It was fun.
Yeah, reminds you of the old times.
It does.
So I guess what else, just hobbies or things that you do when you aren't working?
I mean, the hobbies right now, they've changed. I used to be big into four-wheelers, riding them every chance we could get. We'd ride them all the time, my brother and I and a couple neighbors. I still got my four-wheeler. It's just sitting in the garage. Got my snowmobile. That's sitting there too. Right now, it's just kind of trying to focus on the kids. Sit there. We watch we watch a lot of YouTube. We want to watch. There's a father and son team down in Texas that do a lot of hay for horses. Watch a lot of their YouTube videos. Jack enjoys watching them. I do too. It's very fun to watch. They also are getting into farming sim.
Oh yeah.
So we watch a lot of that. Yep. Yeah. I haven't played it myself, but it's fun.
Very little. Yeah. I've dabbled in it a little bit. Yeah. I bought it.
It's extensive. I mean, you're watching him now. He's running side by sides through mud bogs and stuff on the game. It's in camping. So it's really fun to watch. We used to also do a lot, go watch Marvel movies and that kind of stuff. I haven't had a chance to, but maybe tonight sit down and download and watch the new Spider-Man movie that everyone raves about that movie. Oh, and I want to see it. It looks good. So, and then just tinkering around, doing whatever, I guess, just trying to enjoy life as much as when we can. So
yeah, absolutely.
So, we went to a water park a couple weeks ago, down in Pennsylvania for 2 days. That was fun. We try to go to Old Forge once a year for a week, middle of summer. I'd like to get a side by side and be able to then take Jack and go ride places. And when Henry gets bigger too, maybe get a four seater or something, be able to just go. There's a ride park down near my in-laws. We could just park them there or just stay there and then go down to the ride park and ride around there. They got big amount of state land. So I'd like to get back into that kind of thing eventually here. So, right.
Funny how stuff changes once little guys come along, huh?
It sure does. Before it was like, oh, it's 7 o'clock. I still got a couple hours before I got to get home. Now it's like, oh, 5 o'clock. Yeah. I gotta get home. So, yeah, it's, and they pick up on a lot. They learn a lot. They teach you a lot. It's great. So, it's real fun. So, but yeah, so that's pretty much, I guess, my hobbies and what I do right now. So, So we're, yeah.
Nice. Well, yeah. I guess, is there anything else you wanted to bring up or?
Yeah. No. I think we're good. I think we're
covered most everything.
Yeah. I think we got a, we covered a lot and I could talk for days.
I, yeah. Yeah. I know whenever we see each other, it's always great conversation.
I guess the only thing I would say is, like what Martin said when he was on his, if you can go to a trade class, go to one. Working with your hands is going to be extremely needed. I had a kid shadow me a couple of years ago, and I told him that he needed to, or not he needed, that there was a linesman's class out of OCC for a one-year course, and you're guaranteed a job right out of school. We're going to need a lot of people working these all trades, all blue collar. We're going to need we're going to need a lot of people helping.
Welding, so, plumbing, carpentry,
yep. Electric. All of it. Yeah. All of it. So yeah. We're going to run out of help here, and it's going to, we already are, and it's starting to get a, we can't keep up with demand. So
yeah, a great example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you can, I would say definitely go to a trade school and at least learn something. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's a loss.
Learn getting, a skill.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Learn a skill. There's, even if you don't apply it, you'll still have it. So, I mean, I don't weld every day. I don't weld. I might weld 3 or 4 times a year anymore, but I still, it may not be the greatest anymore weld, but it can get the job done.
You'll hold it together.
That's right.
Until you got, you might have to call someone. Yeah. Yeah. That's such the beauty of growing up on a farm, isn't it?
Yes.
You aren't, you might not be a master at everything, you can at least do it to get by or you know enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. You can fix. Oh, here's Jack right here. Jack, so
it's like, get off, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a couple hours. It's yeah. time to go.
But anyway, yeah. Want to say hi, Jack?
Say hi.
Hi.
Anyway, well, yeah, we can.
Yeah, it's fine.
We'll shut her down. So anyway, Brian, thanks everyone for coming watching. On.
Yeah, man. No problem. It was great. Glad to do it. Maybe. A couple more years, we'll jump back on and
do an update.
Yeah.
But at that point, Jack will be he'll be your helper.
Yeah, he'll be wearing my panels for me in my shop.
There you go. Anyway, well, I guess we'll call her good.
Yeah,
thanks everyone for watching, and we'll catch you in the next video.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.